Good evening, church. Everybody can be making their way. If everyone can be making their way on in, I'm glad there's some excitement in the room tonight. The energy is palpable. This is great. It might be because some of us just ate a lot of Mexican food. It might be because you're just excited about the night. I'm grateful for that. Welcome to those who are joining us online. My name is Austin Johnson, and this is the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. As you know, we're grateful for you choosing to be with us tonight, whether it's live or in a recorded way. Reach out to us. Let us know you're watching. We'd love to engage with you and help you out in your spiritual journey. That's what we're here for. A couple of things, though, for our local church family, if you would, for just a minute. I need to make a reminder to all of our men. We are taking a men's trip to Huntsville January the 13th for a Huntsville Havoc hockey game. And so if you'd like to go, that's going to be a great time. Anytime you get a bunch of guys together like that in that type of a setting, memories will be made. It's going to be a memorable trip. I think the tickets are going to end up costing about $15 per person. If you would, sign the sign-up sheet right over that direction. Also, we are trying to bless people with a Thanksgiving meal. If you know somebody that needs that blessing, maybe money's a little tight. Maybe they're going through some serious health issues, family issues, and cooking a meal or getting the groceries to put on the table is tough. Would you let me know their name? And so we can, in a private, very aware of emotions and embarrassment way, provide a meal for that family. That'd be great if you could do that. Talk to Miss Marva Forsyth today. She needs all the encouragement she can get. Breaking another hip and having to go through another surgery and another stint of rehab is hard. So let's be mindful of Miss Marva. We're also going to pray a special prayer tonight for Lana Davidson. Lana is, they're at home right now. She is dealing with some health issues, in quite a bit of pain. They're needing to see a specialist as quickly as they can, but it's kind of backed up right now. And so we're not going to give any details about specifics for her at this moment, but Mike is asking that we pray for her. The pain is tough, and anybody who deals with pain knows how debilitating that can be. And so I'm going to offer that prayer on her behalf right now. If you would, let's just pause. Let's bow our heads in our hearts, and we'll offer this prayer on behalf of our sister. Holy God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come with praise. We come to glorify. We come humbled before you, though, Lord. You are the essence of all that is good and right and holy. And the fact that we as your people, being so far from what is good, what is right and holy, that we can communicate to you, God, is truly a blessing in Christ. And it is a graceful thing. Thank you, Lord. We lift up Miss Lana to you. We pray for an ease of her pain. We pray that the medicine will work. We pray she'll be able to locate and meet with a specialist that will be able to guide her in a direction that will bring about healing. We also pray for her body in the way that you've designed it, that it will work to heal. And you've done such a wonderful job intricately weaving us together piece by piece. Thank you, Lord. We trust you. No matter the outcome, we trust you, even though our prayer is for good things. And we love that family. And we pray you provide love that they need in this time and comfort that they need to experience. In the name of Jesus, and amen. Good things are happening. Good things have been happening, and good things are going to continue to happen. God blesses faithfulness, church. And in our pursuit of Him and in our desire to be faithful to Him, He's going to guide us, lead us, and bless us. Tonight will be another blessing as we get to worship in song and worship as we study the Word together. So AJ is going to lead us. If I'm not mistaken, come on up. We have our prayer leaders picked out. AJ will let you know when it's time to pray. But let's do our best. Put our heads and our hearts in the right place of worship. And let's take these things to the Lord.
Let's stand together.
The battle belongs to the Lord, all three verses. Heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle.
One more song, and then we'll have our opening prayer.
Bow, please. Almighty God, it is an honor and a privilege that we have to come before you again today at this time to worship you. We're before you all the time, we understand that, but it is a privilege when we can come together as your children and to be together as your children and to be called your children. And thank you for that. Thank you so much for our ability to come before the throne boldly because of what Christ has done, your Son, that we may be able to speak to you and he may share and intercede for us our difficulties. And each of us have our difficulties, and we ask that you please strengthen us through those things that we struggle with and help us to always glorify you in all things that we do. That is our prayer, that we are glorifying you at this moment. We ask that you please be with those that are not here. Be with them and strengthen them in your will. Be with our country as decisions are made for our leaders, and that our leaders will look to your word and will right the ship, so to speak, that they will help this country look stronger in faith towards you. Forgive us of our sins and the things that we so often fail. We are sinners, God, and we need your mercy and your grace. God, we know that we should worship you because of you and not for the expected outcome that we want. And that's where we strive to get to. But our human nature sometimes hinders us because we so often think about ourselves. Help us to be stronger towards you, that we do it because of who you are and not because of what we wish for. Be with us spiritually. Be with us as we go about our life, that we may be able to show your love and show the love of Jesus in our lives, that people may be encouraged. We know, God, that you're the one that gives the increase, and we're asking for that increase, or that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, thank you, and be with us as we are able to open and look at your word. Thank you for Joe and the blessing that he is in sharing your word and his family, that they go about the country influencing, impacting people with your love. Thank you for Austin and his family, how they also are impacting people with your love. Help each of us to impact one another with your love, that you are glorified. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Before Austin and Joe present the one question lesson tonight, let's sing together, "I Walk with the King." Let's stand for this song.
I walk with the King.
Church, welcome those watching online. I hope you're able to be with us live, and if not, we do appreciate how you're willing to be with us at a later date, interested enough in these questions that you were probably a part of, or maybe you've just found out about and have now become interested in. This is one of six that we're covering this week. And so don't just watch this one. Go back and watch the previous ones and catch the one that is to come. But I am grateful that you're willing to be here. And I know you have interest in the Lord, your God, as he is our God too. And we're grateful that we can help you in your spiritual journey. I need to take a minute, though, and talk to my church family here. Ken, thank you for that prayer, for praying for us and our families. I appreciate you in your ministry, though. And really, there's not much of a difference between us and everybody else. Here's the one big difference, though. We have much more time for this. It is our actual job. And so I just want you to know what you do, we appreciate so much. You come here from your work. Many of you are in your work clothes. You come here from your work. Some of you brought food. Others came in on two wheels with families and young people and children, and you're wrangling those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And your ministry is powerful. Your ministry is impactful. Your ministry is vital.
That's right.
And in a lot of ways, it's much stronger than ours. And so thank you. And it is powerful to us to witness what you do and to encourage, and you encourage us. And I want you to know that. People of all ages. Sometimes we just emphasize certain age groups, but here at Florence Boulevard, it's everybody. And it takes everybody in all groups. So thank you. And God be praised for it. Amen?
That's right.
God is the one we praise in it. It's not to toot our own horn. It's to glorify him. All right. So tonight, I'm Austin Johnson. I'm the preacher here. This is Joe Wells, as you probably know by now. Joe, take us to the next question that was popular in our community that people clearly want an answer for.
Yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you all. And I want to say to this good congregation, thank you for the invite. I think you and I figured out this format a little bit, so hopefully,
yeah, that's right.
Hopefully it's coming across well, and it's effective to you who are tuning in online or who will be watching this later. Our goal is just to try to be, I guess, just real and to be effective in this, because these questions do matter, you know, and tonight's question is no different. It's one that isn't necessarily for those maybe who are trying to find the answer as far as why am I here and why does evil, pain, and suffering exist.
Right.
But it is on the mind of individuals of relationships. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's where this question falls this evening.
Yeah.
Is why is it that God's people struggle to forgive? And here's the issue. We don't need to assume. And I don't have the name of the individual who asked this question. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it may have been asked by individuals that are known here, if I'm not sure. However, I will say this. At the core, it's about relationships. And it's about individuals who claim to be followers of Jesus, but yet they still struggle. We struggle. You and I struggle when people hurt us. And I don't know, you know, I don't sign up to be hurt any more than anybody else here signs up to be hurt. I don't sign up to be talked about or to be, you know, even potentially sinned against in a way much larger than, hey, you just didn't, you know, include me. I'm
right.
not just putting that in the category of sin, but hurt comes in many different levels, right? But tonight what we're dealing with is an individual who has obviously said, hey, I have sinned in my life. I have failed. Why is it that my brothers and sisters in Christ, those who claim to be followers of Jesus, why are they struggling so much? And so as we get into this, I want to begin with a real life scenario and one that maybe you're familiar with. It's just something that has impacted me, and I think it will impact me for the rest of my ministry, the rest of my life. And that is this particular case that occurred, and I called a friend of ours because I wanted to make sure I said Botham's name correctly, Botham Jean. In September 6, 2018, Officer Amber Geiger was off work. She was an off-duty police officer at that time, returning to the apartment complex where she lived. She happened to live on the third level. Botham lived on the fourth level. And as a matter of fact, she lived in apartment 1378. Botham lived in apartment 1478. Mm-hmm. One flight of stairs is what the difference was. Well, on that particular evening, she went to the wrong apartment. And she thought, this is what she testified to, that this was her apartment. And she noticed that the door came open basically with a push of a key. So in her mind, she's thinking somebody has broken into my house. Well, Botham was sitting on the couch. And reports will say that he was sitting there eating ice cream. Mm-hmm. And it was dark in the house is the way it was testified. And when she came in, she saw a figure. She could not make out details, is what she said. And she ended up taking out her gun, and she fired two shots at Botham. One of those shots struck him in the abdomen. And while she would eventually come to understand that she was not in the right place, she administered first aid. She called 911. But Botham would later succumb to his injuries at the hospital there right outside of Dallas, Texas. Now, what you may or may not know is that Botham was your brother in Christ. As a matter of fact, he attended a congregation in Dallas, Texas, and he was a graduate of Harding University. He was a song leader. He was well known and well respected amongst those who knew him. That's why I called one of the individuals who knew him personally. Mm-hmm. And I said, I need to know how to say his name because I don't want to mispronounce that name. Anyhow, as the trial would happen, Amber Geiger would be eventually convicted and sentenced to 10 years in prison. At the portion of the case where they were going to then issue the trial as far as the outcome, so she got the guilty verdict, then they were going to render her sentence, the family had an opportunity to speak. And the family members, they did speak, but there was one particular family member, Botham's 18-year-old brother, that forever changed, this case, but also spoke volumes about how do you forgive? How do you approach, how do you look the individual in the eye who killed your brother and yet offer forgiveness? And of course, you see on the screen there what was said. And the reason I put this is because you can go on YouTube and you can watch this video of Brant. He's actually, if I'm not mistaken, a junior at Harding University right now, according to the individual that I spoke with. But he would say this sitting on the stand. He said, I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time how much you have taken from us. I think you know that. But I hope you go to God with all the guilt and all the bad things you have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we have not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. He would go on to say this in a statement really of keeping his focus. He said, the best would be for you to give your life to Christ. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that Botham would want you to do. And I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad for you. Now, at that particular point in time, you see him hugging Amber, but he actually looked over at the judge, and he said, I don't know if this is appropriate or if it's allowable, but can I go give her a hug? The judge allowed him to do so, and in the video, you can see the judge wiping tears from her eyes. I watched numerous interviews with lawyers, people who were in that courtroom, and something struck me about this particular case. The lawyers were asked, have you ever seen anything like that? And those lawyers said, we've never, in all the years we've been trying cases, seen anything where a family member could say what he said and then ask if he could go give this woman a hug. I read also quotes from his mother and his father. And obviously, there are consequences that have to be paid in this life. But in giving the explanation as to why Brandt did this, over and over again they said, because this is what we get to do as Christians. And I want that to sink in for just a moment. Wow. There was no obligation to do what Brandt did. Not in the sense of the world, right? There was no law that said, hey, this is your response. As a matter of fact, most responses are, I hope you die in rotten prison, and I hope you go to hell. That's the way the majority, if you look at family responses, they're harsh in nature because there's great pain that exists. And I want you to know something. Brandt was not exempt from tears. His parents weren't exempt from tears. And his dad would break down talking about how he'll never see him on this earth again, both of them. The reason I bring this case up is because it stands out in my mind how forgiveness is bigger than just you and the person that you're forgiving. Mm-hmm. It's actually a testimony of faithfulness. It's a testimony of where is God in your life? How serious is your relationship with God? Because at the end of the day, what Brandt did, he was torn apart in some of those media shows that came afterwards. Because this was a very turbulent time in American history, right? And there were individuals who would say, don't take an individual saying, I'm sorry. You know, and especially in that time period of the color of skin that we were dealing with in America, the issues that were arising at that time, he was torn apart. But I bring that to light because it really does open the door to this question of why is it that we don't forgive? Well, tonight what I want us to do is I want us to look at two concepts. Actually, there's going to be three questions, but as we begin, I want to contemplate the idea of what is forgiveness. And ultimately, if I were going to not deal with, well, let's dive into the Greek and get out the lexicon. Sure. Let's just deal with a practical concept, Austin. Here is probably the best illustration that I can give you for what forgiveness is. And I know that sounds silly. Let me do it again because I can tell you're enjoying that one, right? Here we go. You ready? Yeah. Now, ultimately, you saw the Bible fall, but what did I do? Let me do it again just in case. You ready? Watch. Here's what I'm doing.
You let go.
I let go.
It took me a second.
I know. I could tell. I always love interviewing Aaron, too, on our podcast. She's like, don't do that on the fly. But I let go. I let go.
Yeah.
And if you really want to, I mean, we could dive into the Greek, but that's not what's needed at this particular moment. Mm-hmm. At this particular moment, we need to understand it's a choosing to let something go. Now, with that, though, what are some ramifications? If I let it go, Austin, what can I not do?
Are you talking about letting go as in I'm going to say I forgive you?
Well.
Or you're choosing to say, or are you letting go of I hold you responsible and I will hold you in contempt?
Okay.
Which one?
Well, I think that they could go hand in hand.
I do too. Because sometimes I think you've got to let go of what's holding you back from saying the words.
Mm-hmm.
And then even after that, letting go of the contempt you
right.
hold that person in.
Which is, and that's why ultimately when you really get into it, and I like the way you said that, the contempt of which you hold them.
That's right.
Is because with this issue of something being done wrong to us, and even the need for forgiveness, right? Somebody needs my forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that means there was a wrong that was done. And it's almost like, no, if there's a wrong that is done, there has to be a wrong that is made right, mm-hmm. right? And here's the reality. Sometimes that can't happen. Sometimes that can't happen. And here's what I mean by that. There are possibly people who are watching this, even maybe even here, who were abused physically by someone growing up who's no longer on this earth. Hmm. And you and I both know that that changes a person.
It does.
And when you start talking about things that can't be undone, mm-hmm. that's one of those things that can't be undone. other things that may not be able to be undone would be like in Botham's case.
Yep.
No matter how sorry Amber is, and of course, you'll find out later, I don't want to leave this hanging too much, that Amber did say she was sorry and requested the forgiveness of the family, mm-hmm. okay? But even in doing that,
yep.
she can't unfire that gun. Mm-hmm. And she can't bring both of them back. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can't, right? So what we do is we hold out
yeah.
for justice to be rendered when there was injustice. And in this particular case, you would say, okay, was justice rendered then when the verdict came? Well, okay, let's come down off of a murder case. Mm-hmm. And let's come down to a point where someone has hurt you and sinned against you, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily where there was a court of law that would be involved.
Right.
And they are walking around, mm-hmm. right?
People in this building and, interacting
yeah.
or in other buildings, other workplaces. This is real personal.
Yeah, and the idea is this. It is very possible for there to be broken relationships, yeah. disgruntledness, bitterness
yeah.
that continues to fester because it's not addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some individuals who say, well, we'll address it when they get ready to address it. When they come to me, then we'll address it. And then there are other people who will say, well, you know what? Maybe you should go to them and address it, right? And so at the core, when we get down to what is forgiveness, I guess I just wanted it to be simple. And it's, you got to let it go. Now, that's what it is, right? That's what forgiveness is. When God forgives you, He lets go mm-hmm. of your accountability for that sin. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven.
That's it.
Right? And that's why in the Old Testament, you heard on Sunday mention, there are numerous words in the Bible that illustrate what God does. One such is He casts it over His back and He just walks away. Almost like you throw something over your shoulder and just keep walking. Another one literally is He grinds it into the ground and destroys that sin. Another one is He picks it up and He casts it into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are multiple descriptions of the way God forgives. And it's well done in the Old Testament. But I will tell you this, at the core, forgiveness is a gift that He gives you. Mm-hmm. Because you can't deserve mm-hmm. forgiveness. There's no way you can, right? Because in order for there to be forgiveness necessary, there had to have been a wrong done. And so I don't deserve God letting it go. But if I don't deserve that from God, then what we've got to understand is this tonight. That not a single person that wrongs us deserves forgiveness either. But yet we still respond the way God responds.
So why do we struggle, though?
Well,
and I'm letting it go.
Yeah, well, let's look at this. I've got Matthew chapter 18 right. Here in our notes, and I know your turn there. So let's look Matthew chapter 18, because this is an interesting teaching that is actually spoken of in the form of a parable of the unmerciful servant. Mm-hmm. And as we begin, Austin, if you don't mind, just yep. start reading for us, and you want to take it all the way through.
Stop me when you need to stop me.
No all right, way. I'll stop you when I want to stop you. Go right ahead. Verse 21 and following.
Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven.
All right, stop right there for just a second. And here's why I do that. Because you got to understand the numbers that are being thrown out. If you don't mm-hmm. understand the numbers that are being thrown out, this is nothing. Peter's just saying, do I forgive him a whole lot? And Jesus says, no, you forgive him a whole lot.
Right.
Right? Which you want to interpret it that way, you could. But what Peter is doing here is he's throwing out a number that was more than twice what the Jewish rabbis said was sufficient in forgiving. So the Jewish rabbi said that you forgive them three times. That if an individual comes and says, I'm sorry, you forgive them. An individual, same comes again, I'm sorry. Three times is the max, mm-hmm. right? And so Peter was being extra gracious.
With just seven.
With seven, right? He's doubling it and then some.
Okay.
And Jesus says, I didn't say that, but up to 70 times seven. And we ought not put a number on that either, right?
Sure.
We ought to just say, Jesus is saying, mm-hmm. It's limitless.
Right.
Keep reading, please. Verse 23.
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents.
Roughly $6 billion. Keep going.
And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii.
Roughly 5 months' wages.
And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me."
Same response.
The same thing. "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servant saw what had taken place.
Stop right there. Who saw it?
His fellow servants.
His fellow servants. The impact of either forgiveness or lack of forgiveness that it has on other people around you. Thus, forgiving someone is actually a testimony.
Oh,
keep
wow.
reading, please.
Speaks to other people.
That's right. Verse 31.
So when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. I can tell you, I don't know if I have really noticed verse 31 before. Wow.
Isn't that pretty impactful? Because it was brought to my attention once that how did the master find out?
Yeah.
It was because there were fellow slaves, right? So mm-hmm. when his fellow slaves...
Right, when they saw what had taken place.
They saw what had taken place. And it impacted them so much, they said, "This is not right."
Verse 32. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt.
All right, let's stop right there for a second. Because what I want to do is, and I appreciate you reading that, by the mm-hmm. way, you did a great job. I want to bring that back, obviously, to the situation and start off. You know there was one guy who owed roughly $6 billion versus 5 months of wages, mm-hmm. right? So oftentimes when this is studied, it's studied from the standpoint of that first guy, he owed so much and he
right.
was forgiven so much, mm-hmm. you would have thought that would have impacted the way that he responded to people, right?
right? Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I would love to tell you that that's the way forgiveness works. And there's going to be a component to that, right? Why do we struggle to forgive? Why do we struggle to forgive? Yeah. It's because the question has got to be asked, do we really understand how much we have been forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go to another portion of this text, and that is the Lord's or the owner of the servants, his reasoning, right, of why he did what he did. Because ultimately, when you really look back at this, the slave falls to the ground. Both occasions, the slave falls mm-hmm. to the ground. But in verse 27, there was a word that was offered. You're reading from the English Standard, I guess.
Right. Yep.
I'm reading from the New American Standard, so there's a little bit of difference. But your word in verse 27 is what? He had
pity.
Pity. The New American Standard says compassion.
Mm.
Now, that's not necessarily, we shouldn't hear that and go, oh, they're saying different things.
Right.
No, we shouldn't. It's the same Greek word interpreted different ways. But mm-hmm. here's what the word literally means. Is you are moved internally so much so that the pain of the other person impacts you and compels you to attempt to relieve their pain. Compassion is not just, well, Austin, I'm sorry, have a
right.
good day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, James would speak against that, right? You see your brother or sister hungry, and you say, oh, go be warm and be
That's
filled.
Right.
Hope you can find some food, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not compassion. Compassion is where someone else's pain, someone else's dilemma, impacts you so much that you want to move to relieve that for them. And over again in the text, we would find this is something that Jesus had towards people and that Jesus has towards us. So here's the interesting dilemma in this text of what compelled the owner of the slaves, the Lord, mm-hmm. to forgive. And it wasn't the deserving of the servant who owed $6 billion. It was that the Lord, in this particular parable,
right.
he understood the plight. He understood the difficulty. You're about to have your children sold, your wife sold.
Yeah.
This is all going to fall apart. And when he saw that response, when he understood the difficulty, he responded. And I will tell you this, that's because he wasn't looking out for, oh, you owe me $6 billion.
So that's exactly right. When we are hurt and we are cut by what people say, do, at us, towards us, against us as we see it, our vision becomes so tight we only see ourselves.
That's right.
We don't see the agony that other people are in because of their actions.
Correct. Well, therefore, we're not even looking at their condition before God.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting part is, in this particular parable, that servant knew his world was falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
But what about the individual who doesn't know? Well, you might find it quite interesting that wow. Before we even get to verse 21, there's verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18. And what's chapter 18, verse 15 and 16 say?
If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault.
You go tell him.
Between you and him alone.
In private? Mm-hmm. You mean I can't tell everybody else about it? Don't I need to amass people who agree with me mm-hmm. and will affirm that my hurt is valid?
Mm-hmm.
And I would offer this to you. You do that, you're sinning. It's not a neutral action. You go and try to amass people who agree with you. You are sinning. And here's why. Because you're not handling it the way the text says handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime we step outside of handling it the way the text says handle it, we're sinning. So what's he say? Go show him his fault in private.
Yeah, if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But
I was just going to say, I find it quite interesting then that the end goal
is to gain a brother.
Is to gain your brother.
Man.
The end goal
yep.
is to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
The end goal's not to make me feel better. Mm-hmm. The end goal is not to make sure I get justice.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is not the great equalizer, because forgiveness isn't meant to be fair. There's a wrong that was done, but you're called to do the hard part of letting it go.
Is forgiveness then the great unifier?
I do believe it is.
So I was thinking, church, when we hold on, holding on holds you down. Letting go helps you rise.
So you look at it as a weight.
Be the bigger people.
Yeah, well, and ultimately that's what it does, because if you hold on, you and I both know this, it's going to impact you.
It impacts you
physically, it impacts you mentally,
emotionally,
spiritually, yeah. relationally.
Yes.
And the issue is not, well, then let me just hurry up and let it go, right? But the idea is this.
Mm-hmm.
Peter asked, okay, if a brother sins, he comes up and says, hey, I'm sorry, how many times should I forgive him?
Yeah.
Jesus says, you let it go. Let it go, right? And here's where the dilemma arose back in Matthew chapter 18 in this particular parable. You run into a stark contrast between the compassion of the Lord in verse 27
mm-hmm.
and the unwillingness in verse 30 of the one who owed $6 billion toward the one who owed 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And what I guess is something that we need to take home, and I know it's known, but it needs to be said, if not for you here, for somebody yeah. who may be watching, it's this, that you got to appreciate how much you have been forgiven in Christ.
Yep.
And that's got to impact not just you going, well, okay, now I'm saved. If I die, I go to heaven. That's got to impact the way you respond to other people.
Yes.
But it's not just even that you've been forgiven much. It changes what you see.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Lord saw the first slave through the lens of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
The second slave saw the other slave yeah. through the lens of, you owe me, and therefore I'm getting it back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what's cool. Verse 27 and verse 34. The same Lord who had compassion in 27, in 34, and his Lord moved with what?
Anger.
The same Lord who had compassion in 27 acts now in anger in 34.
Mm-hmm.
That turn, that change, was not because the amount of forgiveness changed. In other words, he still owed, he had the $6 billion,
yeah,
he was forgiven, right? The 5 month salary, it's the same debt. The change between compassion and anger was the first slave's reaction and what he did, right? So number one, when you and I start to contemplate this idea of why is it that Christians struggle to forgive, I would offer to you because we're still waiting on justice to be done. And we need to remember that it's not about you receiving justice for a wrong that's been done. It's about the soul of that individual being restored to God. Number two, we also need to remember this. We have been forgiven much. And more than anybody else who seeks our forgiveness, God has forgiven more than we would ever be able to extend to other people. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to impact us, right? So as we then get into this third question, what I want us to think about is this then. Okay, we know that I need to forgive. Right. We understand the teaching here. And, and I've been asked the question, how can you forgive somebody who doesn't want to be forgiven? Well, that's a difficult question. And if they don't want to receive the forgiveness, then I don't know how you can extend it. But I can choose not to let it eat me up with bitterness, right?
Oh, yes.
I can choose not to go to my grave holding a grudge. Mm-hmm. I can choose not to let it ruin my relationships moving forward. And that's hard. And sometimes maybe we're splitting hairs on this one, but I can choose not to allow that wrong
Absolutely.
To eat me up.
You can right? give forgiveness. Now, whether it's received or not, that's up to them.
Well, and another thing, and I thought about this, and you're absolutely right. They've got to receive it. I'm not responsible for if they receive it or not. But I also thought about this. You know, as much as we hear, well, we got to forgive like God forgives, we got to forgive. Do you know, ultimately, I can't forgive like God forgives, and here's why.
Yeah.
Because I can't forgive sins. God alone can forgive sins. So even if I try to forgive, we're not talking apples and apples. Because I can't forgive their sin. All I can choose to say is this. I do not hold this wrong that you've done to me to your account. I let it go. Right? So here's the deal then. What does forgiveness entail? Well, there's a lot of things. And I'm going to go through this as quickly as I can. But I do believe these are important. Okay?
Yeah.
So in Genesis chapter 50, we see something that is required in order for there to be forgiveness. And this particular account involves Joseph forgiving his brothers, right? And without going through all of it, you understand Joseph was sold into slavery. His brothers faked his death. And then obviously Joseph rose to power because God allowed him to, but the brothers didn't recognize him when they came back because they needed provisions due to the famine in the land. Joseph recognized them, and there was some give and take on, hey, let me see about getting your younger brother here. Let's talk about getting your father here. But ultimately, at the very end of that, you learn that forgiveness entails faith that God has a bigger plan. So won't you read verses 17 through 21, please?
This is the brothers sending the message to Joseph. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I'll provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them.
So, yeah, I mean, and of course, if you've ever studied the account of Joseph, you know the reality was he was taken away, ripped away from a father who loved him dearly. And we can go back and look at that and say, well, 17-year-old know-it-all who said, hey, all y'all are going to bow down to me. We can make excuses, right? But either way, a 17-year-old young man's life was ripped apart. And he had the authority. At that particular point in time, he had the authority to have them killed.
Oh, in a moment.
But he said there was a bigger picture.
That's right. Going back to vision, what you see. So often when we're hurt, you know, hurt people.
Right.
But forgiven people should forgive people.
And that's where what should we do? You're right, is we've got to fall into the forgiveness that God gives us more. There are some of us, I think, quite honestly, brother, if I use this illustration, there are some of us that are leaning into it, into the forgiveness of God. We know intellectually it's there. We're leaning into it. but we haven't given ourselves into it, right? Mm-hmm. We're almost still propping ourselves up a little bit. And I don't mean in the sense that we think we're earning salvation.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ who go to bed every night and they say this, well, I hope if I die in my sleep, I hope I go to heaven. And the reality is this, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you would be uncertain about your destination. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, John would write in 1 John chapter 5, you can know that you have eternal life.
Yes.
That's, you don't have to go to bed and say, well, I hope if I die tonight, I hope I go to heaven. Mm-hmm. No, if there's something amiss in your life between you and Jesus Christ and you know that, then you got to fix that. You've got to surrender that is the better way to say that to God. But the reality is this, that when you and I start leaning into the forgiveness, we'll be more apt to forgive.
Yes.
But that's because we trust that there's a bigger picture, right?
And have faith in God in it.
Yeah, that He's bigger than the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
God's bigger than the scenario, right? Number two, I would offer this to you, that forgiveness takes your own gratitude. And we've talked about this numerous times, but in Psalm 51, the psalmist here, David, would speak to that account when he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice. Otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. And what's beautiful about this is he says, I want to praise you for you restoring the joy of my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be the result, right? We sing songs, we come collectively to worship, but it's not only in worship that we come with an attitude of gratitude, but it's also in the way that I approach other people.
Yeah.
Right? So my gratitude of what God has done in my life ought to impact my ability to forgive.
Right?
Number three, I would offer this to you, and we saw this, of course, in Matthew chapter 18, but
Parable. It's
got to have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be moved not by your pain. And I like the way you said that is oftentimes when we are hurt, we become the center of our attention.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not suggesting to you that that's not difficult to overcome.
So hard.
You know?
And if I were to ask you to raise your hands, we would all raise our hands to know how hard that is.
Yeah.
And have gone through it.
Sure. And we still do. Yeah. And we struggle against that, right?
Yes.
If you don't believe that, I mean, let's take it outside of people outside of your home and let's bring it to people inside of your home, right? I'm not even going to ask if you've ever given your spouse or your parents what is called the silent treatment.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't ask, right? Because we don't want to be honest in this. No, I'm teasing. We obviously do, but here's the deal. Why do we give the silent treatment? Because you don't deserve for me to talk to you. And I'm going to show you that. And then there are some men who are like, well, I don't know why she hasn't spoken in a while, but, you know, I guess I better go say something to her, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe we're a little slow to come to the game,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
But either way, the reason we do that is because we reflect on our own hurt. And therefore, we act out of hurt.
And sometimes people just need time to process.
They do.
And there's a difference. We understand there's a difference there, processing.
Yeah.
And then also holding someone else in contempt.
Yeah.
It's
funny, on that particular point, I ask people who've been married 50 years, what's the secret? And I had an older man tell me once, he said, sometimes you just need to go to the garage. Hmm. And by that, what he was saying is, you know, maybe you need to go to your corners. You need to step away from just a little bit. So I totally get that. But when you start talking about compassion, compassion means you don't spend the time reflecting upon your hurt and allowing your own hurt to dictate what you do.
Lingering longer than it needs to be.
Correct. So compassion is I look at what that other person needs.
Right.
That person needs
reconciliation, selfish.
Right?
And we understand. I want people to watch online and here in person. We know how hard that is.
Oh.
But what we're doing, what we're saying, is what God has called us to do as Christians, which is rise up to His level, not His level, but attempt to get in that direction of His holiness.
Right.
Be holy for I am holy. You know, we're looking at these things. Be faithful that God knows the bigger picture. Gratitude because of what He's done. Compassion towards other people. This is hard. But man, God has called us to this rising up towards His holiness.
Right. So in some ways, I guess the issue that you just bring up is this. The issue of forgiveness is not really about you. me forgiving you is really about my walk with God.
Absolutely.
It's not really about what you need.
Yeah.
It's about me having an opportunity to grow into the likeness of Christ in as much as I can in that area,
which
right?
Which is right where this next one comes
Absolutely,
in.
Which means this. I have to have humility.
Man, yeah.
So when you think about Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the reality is for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says this. To sum it all up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, look, there are going to be people who irritate you. There are going to be people who do you wrong. And you're going to have the opportunity, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yeah. He says, but the way that you get beyond that is by you humbling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I find it quite interesting because oftentimes, Austin, the issue of forgiveness is so much placed upon what you do. And what you need to do as the person who needs the forgiveness. And when I read Scripture over and over again, what I continually see is this. It's more about what I need to do. I need to have humility. I need to have compassion. I need to have gratitude. I need to understand that my faith in God means I trust He sees the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. And do other people who commit those actions and sins, do they need to change?
Yes.
Are there things they need to do differently? Yes. But where does forgiveness start? Within me.
Right. And that's the question.
That's it.
Why do we as Christians struggle to forgive?
Mm-hmm.
It's not
that's
you
right.
need it.
That's right.
It's why am I struggling
with it?
With
that?
Right?
Yeah.
And the issue is this. It's because I need to grow spiritually.
Cool.
That's where it is. So I'm going to give you these other ones real quick. So some of you are going to take one big picture and write them all down, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So you see there love. You see patience. And you see kindness. And of course, you see the scriptures that are there beside those. Love does not keep a record of wrong. We understand what Paul wrote there. The idea of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul would write to Timothy that there are going to be occasions where you actually have to bear under mistreatment. That's what the word patience means there in that text. And it's a unique word. It's the only time it's used in that particular way in all of the New Testament. And it doesn't mean just bear under a load. It means somebody's wronged you, you bear under the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, that's not fair. That's not comfortable. I don't want to do that. And God says, well, there's benefit for you in this.
You've been called to inherit a blessing.
You have been called for something different.
Mm-hmm.
So live that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. And ultimately, God Himself is described as kind. And He calls us to be as He is. Now, that's what Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 4, too. Kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving one
Which
another.
Which is right where I'm going to close.
Go ahead. Oh, not yet then. Don't do that yet.
No, I'm not.
Don't do that yet. But that's where He calls us to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and ultimately, in all of this, He's saying, I'm allowing you an opportunity to be conformed into My image.
That's right.
So, forgiveness really isn't about you.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is about My opportunity to grow spiritually, and that is why it's hard.
It's powerful.
Because it hurts when I no longer sow to the flesh and I sow to the spirit. It hurts when I don't do what my desire is to do, and instead I choose to do what God wants me to do. It hurts when I no longer seek my justice, but I seek for that person to walk more closely with God. And that's why it hurts, but that's why when you really start looking at the struggle with forgiveness, it's because forgiveness is about growing. I turn you back to Brant because I know Austin's got a few words here to wrap us up. But I thought it was interesting that in his first interview after giving Amber Geiger a hug, obviously there was a lot that was asked about why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do this? Why did you do this? And what message did it relay? And, of course, he was very cautious to say, my actions, they represent me. They don't represent the whole family.
Yeah.
Because everybody's allowed to grieve the way they need to grieve, right? But I thought it was quite interesting. On an interview on Good Morning America, Brant Jean said this. She made a mistake that she probably truly regrets. So if you want to forgive her, just understand that God forgave you. And know that every time I ask God for forgiveness, He forgives me. His mother would compliment him, and she was one who wasn't on the same page. She complimented him, and she said this, "Forgiveness is actually for the forgiver." Wow. So you keep walking close with God. Why do we struggle? Because it's not fair. Why do we struggle? Sometimes we struggle because we believe that we're the judge of whether or not they've rendered fruit of repentance. I would offer this to you. I'm not that person's judge. Sometimes we struggle because we're so focused on ourselves. It's not about why do we not do it. It's not about did they ask. That's not the nature of this question. The nature of the question is why is it a struggle? Yeah. And it's a struggle because forgiveness isn't fair. Let's pray and then I'll turn it over to you. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we're grateful that you do not grow weary of us, that you're patient with us, and that as we come before you out of faithful repentance, you forgive us. Lord, help us to understand that in you forgiving us our sin, you haven't just forgiven us of something small. You have forgiven us of something great, mm-hmm. something terrible, something horrible. And Lord, it is our prayer that that would impact the way that we view other people and their need for forgiveness. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
So, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And here's what we do, church. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. But see, that's not where the text ends. We only have the ability to forgive because Ephesians 4:32 circled in my Bible, as God in Christ forgave you. Church, that's what it boils down to. We have the capacity to forgive because we ourselves have been forgiven to an nth degree and then some. If you choose to receive it, God is willing to give it. If you need to come and ask for forgiveness here in person or online, would you contact us? Would you call us? We'd love to pray with you, study with you, and show you where God washes you and cleanses you of all forgiveness. Because we know the free gift of God in Christ Jesus. That is salvation in Christ Jesus. But how can you receive it in the forgiveness of your sins? It's being buried in the burial that the scriptures call baptism. And we'd love to talk to you about that, where God can forgive you and cleanse you and make you new. And so we, as newborn children in Christ, we walk at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 life. Kind, loving, tender-hearted, forgiving. It's because you know how much you've been forgiven in Christ. And if we can help you in your journey of forgiveness, maybe holding contempt, holding somebody else in contempt, hey, lay your burdens down. Every care you carry. Come on forward, let us pray for you. Let's stand and sing.
Jesus is Lord, our Redeemer. How He loves me, how I love Him. He is risen, He is coming. Lord, thank you.
quick, I won't take much time. Brother Ken Van Horn asked me to say something about the tables that are outside, and I asked if I could set those up because I wanted, especially the members here, to see what our ministry entails. And so you'll see two tables out there if you choose to go look at them, Kyle Publications and Fried Hardeman University. In 2020, Fried Hardeman came to me and asked me to start recruiting for their College of Biblical Studies. And so I get to, as I travel the country, try to connect Bible students with Fried Hardeman University to increase the number of ministry majors. And so you'll see a Fried Hardeman table for juniors and seniors. I've got free T-shirts if you fill out an inquiry card, and I've got stickers for others. The Kyle Publications is the nonprofit publishing company that Aaron and I founded over 10 years ago. And in 2019, you know, when we went into this work full time, we have thrown ourselves into trying to produce resources for the Lord's church, because our belief is as the home is strengthened, so is the church. And so our emphasis is on building up the home, calling fathers to lead the way that God's called us to lead, mothers to lead the way that God's called mothers to lead, children to grow and mature in the faith. And so we offer a lot of resources. We would love for you to stop by and look at it. I'll be out there to answer any questions that you might have, but I appreciate the opportunity, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Austin. Thank you for being here tonight. If you're visiting with us, we're so thankful that you're here. And we hope you'll give us a minute or two to meet you, and we invite you back tomorrow night. Let's fill this auditorium, and I'm going to repeat what Austin's been saying. Let's fill the front. All right, if we fill the front, then we can fill the back half. But let's be here tomorrow night to hear one more question be presented. Before we are led in our closing prayer, we'll sing this song together, and then we'll be dismissed. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Father, we are so thankful to be able to be here tonight, to be able to hear from your word and hear it preached boldly and with conviction. And Father, we know that these are difficult subjects and topics, and that we've been challenged to rise to the occasion, to be stronger spiritually, and to give forgiveness freely. And Father, we are so thankful for the forgiveness that you give us. Father, please forgive us when we fall short, and as we struggle to, at times, turn loose of the hurt and the heartache that others have caused, Lord, I pray that you help us to be reminded of how much you truly love us and how much we ought to love souls. And Father, I pray that you continue to bless this congregation. I'm thankful for Joe and Austin and their time and study of your word, and for the all the preparation that's gone into this week. And Lord, we pray that many more lives and fruit will be blessed through this week and in the coming months and years to come. Father, please help us all to leave this place encouraged and strengthened, and to make it safely to our homes, and to do our very best to invite others to come back for the final night tomorrow. Lord, please help us to be strong in the faith and to look to your word for guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.